Okay, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 91 and one more scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I always like for you to turn to something in the Old Testament, something into the New Testament. I'm sorry, babe, I stole your bulletin. And we're going to talk about insecurity today, and really we're going to talk about security. We're going to overcome insecurity. So look at somebody and say, we're going to overcome insecurity. Psalms 91 and 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll have some of the scriptures. If you know me, I always give you more scriptures than that. Some of them will be up here on PowerPoint. You can take notes. I've got it laid out like an outline. You know me, I'm a teacher, so I love teaching the Word of God. And I can tell you this, I'm more secure today than I was back when I first got saved back in 1993. And I wanted to start off just talking about one of the things as a pastor, the things that I have ministered the most to people, regardless of age, young and old, is ministering to people the security of their salvation. And I have encountered, just this week, I had a counseling appointment with a little 12-year-old boy who knows Jesus as his Lord and Savior, but he was telling me, he said, Pastor Martin, this little kid was sharp, he was smart. I asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up, and he said, I want to be a brain surgeon. I mean, this kid was serious. I mean, very smart, but he said, I'm having thoughts that I'm not saved. And so I told him where those thoughts come from, and I told him how to use the name of Jesus, and I gave him some scripture, and he left there empowered, knowing that he was secure in his relationship because the enemy was lying to him that he wasn't saved. And I said, nope, you're saved. And here's a, you know, and I've shared this story here before. I had a, and she doesn't go to church here, doesn't even live here, but I had a lady come to our house one time here in Leedy, and an older lady, been in church for years, probably 30, 40 years been in church, really been in church her whole life, so probably longer than that. And she came to me and she said she'd heard a message from somebody, and this showed me the severity of being a pastor, of being somebody that teaches the gospel and preaches the gospel. But she left this church service doubting her salvation. And God, and I prayed about this, and God told me, he said, Mark, you should never teach my word or preach my gospel and people leave doubting their salvation. And there's a lot of religious teaching today, and I'm going to call it religious teaching that's fear-based. You know, turn or burn. You're going to hell if you don't do this and don't do that. It's all fear-based. And God doesn't want us to be in a relationship with him based on fear. I don't want to be in a relationship with my dad based on fear. I want to be in a relationship with my dad based on love. I don't want dad coming to me and say, well, I'm kicking you out of the family. You're no longer a Haney. And you know, and I'm making light of that but that's what a lot of people believe about the relationship with God. One day you're in the family, the next day you're out. And that's not God. We all mess up. We're all sinners falling short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior. We need God. We need God. And I finally got my mind renewed enough to be secure in my salvation. That I'm not saved one day and not saved the next day. I'm saved every day. I used to wear out the carpet going to the front of the church and go, I don't feel saved today. You know, something happened yesterday and I didn't feel saved. I had a thought that I wasn't saved. And God finally got a hold of me one time and said, Mark, you are not acting like my son. And I was like, wow. And I mean, and he kind of got on to me like that. I want you to hold your head high, stick your chest out, be confident in who you are, and know that you're my son. And I said, yes, sir. And so from that moment forward, I started being a son instead of being a slave. And there's too many people that are walking around slaves, and they're afraid of God, afraid that he's the giant person in the sky with the magnifying glass and using the sun to burn you like an ant. Don't ask me how I know that, okay? That's a way a lot of people do their relationship with God. And Jade and I, we had to counsel with this lady in her house because she was doubting her salvation. And we said, no, you're saved. That day way back when, but what we're doing, the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. Your spirit is sealed and stamped. You're secure. But what we're renewing is our mind. That's what this, we're all a work in progress in renewing our mind. And one of these days we're going to have glorified bodies. Praise God, I can't wait for that. Because I already know I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger back when he was Conan the Barbarian. That's what I look like in the spirit. All right. But I was, I used to be insecure in my salvation. Another thing that I used to be insecure in was my call. I used to be very insecure in my call because I didn't have anything. I couldn't say, oh, I've been to seminary. I know I can quote, the first five books of the Bible. I still don't even know. I can't, how some of these kids, we have some of our kids coming up that can tell you all the books in the Old Testament and the books in the New Testament. I still can't do that. I know where they're at, but I just can't rattle them off to you like some of these kids can. And that used to drive me nuts, and I used to be very insecure about that. And here's the thing about the enemy. The enemy will make sure that he sends people across your path, and even Christians being used to the enemy. Is that possible? Oh, yeah, it is. Send them across your path to even make that insecurity even larger. I had a pastor tell me one time, well, Mark, I just really don't think you're called. I think you're more of an errand boy. And I was like, well, that really ministers to me. That really encourages me, And this was at a point in my life where I was very young in the Lord. I knew that God had called me. And then you have a man of God that you see as your pastor, a man of God, tell you that, and it just crushes you. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm not called. Maybe I'm crazy. maybe I'm not hearing from God. And God, in his love for me, began to send people across my path and confirm that call in my life. And finally today, at the age of 48, fixing to be 49 next month, I know I'm called to be a pastor. And nobody can tell me otherwise. Now, 20-some years ago, 25 years ago, I was like, I get up here in front of people like this, and I'm like, I wanted to go run out the exit door. Wanted to get out of here because I didn't feel called. I was so insecure. And it was over, and I'll tell you what healed me. It was being in prayer and being in the Word brought that security. God brought that confirmation. And then God brought great people across my path to say, you're called. You're called. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of it. Look at somebody and say, you're called. We're all called to be ministers of the gospel. It may not be the five-fold ministry. It may not be in the pulpit. I was talking to Mark Ward the other day, and we were talking, and he said, I always thought that I was going to be preaching and in the pulpit and all that, but he said, I had more of a ministry time this summer coaching a bunch of boys. And I said, yes, you did, Mark. That is a huge ministry. And if people would see, they're like Carrie, I see Carrie's wife sitting back there, a teacher, you're ministering to kids every day of the week up there at school. And so we're all called. And everybody said, amen. All right, I'm going to give you a definition of insecurity. I started off with about being insecure in my salvation, insecure in my call. But here's a good definition of insecurity. In a very short, very simple definition of insecurity, it just means lack of confidence. Lack of confidence. And God wants you to be confident in your salvation, and he wants you to be confident in your call. And everybody said, amen. But you're going to have to go through a process, just like I did, and you're going to have to go through what Romans 12, verses 1 through 2 talks about. We talked about this last week. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is. That's what we're all working on. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, look at somebody and say, you need to renew your mind. This is audience participation. We get out of here faster if you do what I say, okay? All right, here's number one. I'm going to give you some truths about some insecurity, and then we'll get to security. Truths about insecurity. Number one, everyone is insecure about something. Everyone. Every one of us in here are insecure about something. And a lot of people think, well, if I had money, if I had the good looks, if I had the perfect body, if I was popular, if I had these certain relationships with these certain people, then I would be secure. That's all false. You're either insecure, false security, that's false security, what I just mentioned, or you're secure in your relationship with God. And I want everybody leaving here today secure in your relationship with God. That's where security comes from, is in your relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I heard a pastor who pastors in Amarillo, and there's a certain family there in that city that has lots of land around there, lots of cattle, but they also have lots of oil money. I'm talking millions, multi-millions of money, and they're very giving people. This lady has homes in different parts of the United States, and she has one home that's in New York City. And the pastor was telling a story about a guy that she had hired to do some work at her home in New York City. And he had told this pastor, he said, she came in there and sat down and talked with me. He said, very, very open, very genuine people, down-to-earth people. And she told this gentleman, she said, you know, a lot of people think that money brings security. But she goes, money has actually brought insecurity to me. Because everybody, she goes, I'm afraid to be alone and to go anywhere because I'm afraid somebody's going to try to, because this lady's well known in the Amarillo, that somebody's going to kill me for my money and take everything that I've got. And so she was very insecure. So money's a lie. It is. Money's a lie. Is it, you know, money's important? Yeah, money pays the bills. Money's important, but it's not essential. What's essential is your relationship with God. That's what's essential. Here's another thing that people put a lot of stock in today is appearance, or, you know, that great body or whatever. Guess what? We're all in a battle, and it's with gravity. And I'm going to tell you something about gravity. It wins. It's going to win every time. Can we fight against it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we all need to exercise. We need to be in good health and all those things, but in the end, gravity wins. I just want you to know that and be okay with that. Some of the most insecure people on this planet, and you would think they'd be the most secure people, are fashion models. Fashion models are some of the most insecure people on the planet because they're constantly comparing themselves with somebody else. Ladies, stop it. Stop it. You know, I heard that joke one time. You know, ladies come to church and they have the same blouses on, and automatically they're enemies because they have the same. Guys come in and Clark and I come in wearing the same shirt. We're buddies for life, you know. That's just the difference between men and women in that area. And guys do it too. Guys compare their toys with one another. You know, I got more toys than you do. No, you know, that just means you're probably in debt more than everybody else. You got to show off your toys. Relationships with people, you know, if you've ever been around some people, they feel more secure if they're taking photos with, you know, popular people and all those kind of things. I'm going to tell you something I'm very insecure with, and that's my golf game. I like to play golf, but I've realized I really thought that being the natural athlete that I am, that I could go out there, that's a joke, by the way, is I could go out there and put a ball in the ground and take a club and swing and hit it true every time. That's not the case. And the other day, I played in a golf tournament Friday with my son-in-law. He asked me to come play. He may not ask me ever again, but he asked me to come play with him in this fire department golf court golf tournament to benefit the fire department at Weatherford. I'll get out here in just a second. And there were 36 teams in this thing. It's 36 teams of four. So you're having to tee off with eight guys on a tee box. Now, if you ever watched PGA, you know, they have the crowd around them. I'm like, I could never do that with that many people. You know, I'd swing and miss or something. And so I'm standing there, and I'm over the ball, and I've got eight, you know, seven other guys standing around me watching me. You know, all their eyes are just on me. And I'm just, every hall is praying, God, just help me to hit the ball. I just want to hit it, you know. And so I'm very, very insecure about my golf game. And what I found, and I had this pastor friend tell me one time, I'd get mad, you know, you'd duff one, and you just, you know, the competitor comes out and this is your pastor. I would take the club. I never threw it, but I took my club and just like slammed it on the ground like mad. And I'll never forget this pastor friend of mine. We was out playing one time, and he said, "You know what, Haney?" He said, "You ain't good enough to get mad." I was like, "Thank you. Thank you for that revelation. That's a heavy revy right there." And but Cameron said something, my son-in-law, he said something on Friday that I'll never forget. He got up there, and we was on a par three. And, you know, a par three, if you don't know golf, that's usually a hole that you can – put it on the green. That's what you want to do. That's the object. And so he gets up there and he hits this shot, and there's one tree over to the right of the green, and Cameron's ball goes into the tree. And he turned around, and he had the right attitude. He was smiling. He goes, "You know what? My golf game is amazing." He goes, "There's not a tree out here, but I hit that one tree out over there because my golf game's amazing." Well, that's the way to look at it right there. He's more secure in his golf game than I am. But there's a lot of ways how, you know, the truth about insecurity, everyone is insecure about something, is this point number one. But a lot of people think that, you know, when you're insecure, then you're shy, standoffish, and that is a sign of insecurity. But I'll also tell you another sign of insecurity is when people are very cocky and very prideful and very arrogant. That's also a big sign of that there's a lot of insecurity involved there. All right, here's number two. Number two truth about insecurity. Everyone deals with their insecurities in some way, right or wrong. And so I just want to ask the question, where do you go to when you're insecure? Where do you go to when you're insecure? And what I'm wanting you to think of, we need to go to God first. It's not to anything else. So where do you go to when you're insecure? Here's number three. Insecurity is an open door for either God or the devil to operate in our lives, and we choose. And so this is where I wanted you to turn to Psalms 91, and this is verses 1 through 16. I'm not going to put them up here for you. But Psalms 91, if you know the Word of God very well, Hebrews 11 is what they call the faith chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. And Psalms 91 is the security chapter. So if you don't get anything out of this message today, if you ever are feeling insecure, you need to go to this chapter and read it, and read it to yourself. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 16, I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." Amen. "Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague, or sickness, or disease come near your dwelling." That's something I pray over Jade and I all the time, is Psalms 91, verse 10. No plague, no sickness, no disease is going to come near our home. Verse 11 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways." Verse 12, "In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread," and here's what talking about how we tread over the enemy. "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." That's talking about the enemy, the devil. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Wow, we could just say amen and let's go home. Because that's how you conquer insecurity, is by taking that chapter and reading it over your life, over your situation, your circumstance, whatever you're going through. Excuse me. Take that word and speak it. Speak it. If you have to read it out loud, read it out loud. Somebody said the other day, and I put it on, you may have seen it on Facebook, somebody said, "I want to hear God speak." And somebody said, Read the Word of God out loud, and then you're going to be hearing God speak to you. So take Psalms 91 and read it, verses 1 through 16. So here's where we have to be, though. Insecurity is an open door for either God or the devil to operate in our lives, and we choose. The choice is ours. A lot of people, when they come up against an insecure situation, I'm just going to throw out one thing that I've seen a lot of people run to is alcohol or drugs. I'm insecure, so I'm going to run to that. I'm going to cope with it with that. What God wants you to do is run to Him. And He says in verse that 91:1, let me read that again, verse 1, says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And then as you keep reading, is all the promises of those who dwell in the secret place. Those who dwell in the secret place. In the secret place, Jesus told us what the secret place is, and it's in Matthew 6:6 there. It says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." And it's just talking about, you can literally do that if you want to, but do you have a time during the day where I have a lot of windshield time during the week? So in my vehicle is when I do a lot of praying, and I just talk to God and just pray. And so that's my secret place. God knows about those conversations and what we talk about and all those things. But do you have that in your life going on a daily basis? You need to have that time, because when God sees that, he says, here's a person that's dwelling in that secret place. Now all these promises are theirs in Psalms 91:1. And I guarantee you, if you're a person of prayer, there are things that God's protected you from that you're never going to even know about. If you're a good parent, then you know that there's been things you've protected your children from that they had no idea about. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and say this, because if there was a time in our lives where Taya had come to us when she was real little, and this wasn't in my notes, so I feel like somebody needs to hear this. But she came to us when she was real little, and she wanted to go stay the night with somebody. And we said, "No, you're not. You're not going there." And, of course, if you don't know Taya, she's very persistent, very demanding, very I want my way, very in your face, very don't give up until I get a really good answer. And it was just finally, I had to basically yell at my daughter. I said, "Because Dad said so. That's all you need to know." And she finally got the hint then. Because if she kept it up, she was going to get her butt busted. But that's where we was at. But I knew something that went on in that home that she did not need to see, nor hear, nor be a part of. I needed to protect her from that. And later on in life, I got to tell her about that. And she was so very thankful that we were good parents. And so sometimes, I got some young people in here today. Sometimes your parents are telling you things, and I see some moms looking down the road going, "Yeah, that's good. This is the time to do that." They're telling you things, and they're protecting you from stuff that you don't even need to know. God does the same thing for us, because God is good. That was free. That came from heaven right there. Somebody needed to hear that. Some young person needed to hear that today. And parents, keep doing your job of protecting your kids. And I know that some of you are like, because even to this day, Jade and I, we came up here and we took communion and we prayed over Taya. We pray over Taya and Cameron every day. Pray God's angels over them and safety over them and all that. And some of you are standing on the Word of God over some situations in your kids. Keep doing it. God's faithful and He will bring them through it. Amen. It may not be in your timing. That's where we struggle. But keep praying and believing, and God's going to bring them through that. Amen. All right. Because God wants your kids just as much as you do, I promise you, God wants your kids safe and secure as well. Now, here's the key here, and this is where I want to mention something. Where you're going to get secure, I can stand up here and preach security to you and teach security to you all day long till I'm blue in the face. But the only way that you're going to get secure is within your private prayer time, spending with Jesus, and in His Word. And so I'm doing everything I can as your pastor to make sure you have the tools to be able to do that. And we have these daily devotionals. We have one, the new ones came in for September. We also still have the ones for June, July, and August. That's why I send out a daily scripture every day to get the word into you. I love the word of God, and I love to use the word of God to encourage people, and I want to get it out there to people. But I found this devotional through a pastor friend of mine over in the Texas Panhandle, and it's one of the best that I've ever found. And it's just a little short paragraph every day, packed full of scripture, a great message that you can do every morning or every evening whenever you read the word. But get you one of these devotionals. Take it home with you. Get it in the hands of others. You can take more than one. Give it to your family members. Give it to your coworkers. We had Mr. Patton, my old high school principal, stop by the house the other day and wanted our devotionals because he had been this has amazed me how our devotionals have been spread out over Leedy, because he had went to the Woodward Nursing Home and was visiting Juanita Oman, and she said, "Hey, I don't know who." She goes, "Well, she does. She knew who it was because it was our church names on the front." She goes, "Harvest Fellowship has these devotionals. Go get me one." So Mr. Patton came by, and we gave him a whole bunch of them so he could take them to the nursing home at Woodward. Isn't that cool? But guys, I encourage you to get into the Word of God. This is a very easy tool to do that. Get these on the Bible apps. There's all kinds of Bible apps. The YouVersion of the Bible has lots of little different, you know, study things that you can do on there as well. Get into the Word of God, because the Word, what Psalms 107:20 says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. If you're a very insecure person, the Word will deliver you from it. Whatever you need deliverance from, the Word will do it. And everybody said, amen. Now, I'm not going to go into this in depth. I could do a whole nother teaching on this, but I wanted you to see somebody in Scripture who was very, trying to contrast between somebody that was very secure and somebody that was very insecure. And there's a person in the Old Testament that was a very insecure person. Now, if you hung around him, he was probably very cocky, very arrogant, and very prideful. And so you would never have thought that this dude was insecure. And who we're talking about is King Saul. And this is found in 1 and 2 Samuel. And we'll kind of paraphrase this for lack of time, but the people decided that they didn't want God to be their king. They wanted a king, and as a man, somebody that they could see and touch and feel and hear and all those kind of things. And because all the other nations around them had a king, and so God said, "Okay, I'm going to allow this to happen because this is what you want, and it's not the best for them." But He allowed them to have a king, and King Saul was the first one that was chosen. And this man was a very insecure person. And he's contrasted in Scripture, King Saul and then King David. King David was a very secure person in his relationship with God. And he was a man after God's own heart, is what the Scripture says. And so these two are contrasted in Scripture in 1 and 2 Samuel. But I'm going to show you, and you can take these, write these down if you want to, if you're taking notes. But there's seven signs of a Saul spirit. And this is seven signs of somebody that's very insecure, and here they are. Number one is, if you come across people that are unteachable and unapproachable, then that's a sign of a Saul spirit. That's a sign of somebody that's very insecure. Saul was not teachable, and he was not approachable. The prophet Samuel, you can study this in 1 and 2 Samuel, would go to him for messages from the Lord and tell him to do something. He'd do the exact opposite, because he was not teachable and he was not approachable. He thought he was the cat's meow. He thought he had it all figured out. I'm king. I don't need to listen to anybody else. The second thing that he was very jealous and envious. And he was very jealous and envious of David when David came along. And when David slew Goliath, we all know that story in 2 Samuel chapter 17. When David slew Goliath, the people started singing praises, and they started saying, you know, Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed his tens of thousands. And that made Saul very, very insecure. The third thing that Saul did a lot was blame transfer. If you've ever been around somebody that's very insecure, it's never their fault. It's always somebody else's. And so, you know, this started in the garden, Adam and Eve. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the devil. And so the blame transfer. And in the situation of King Saul, he was constantly blaming the people for the choices that he had made. The next thing is control. He liked to control people because he was very insecure. He would control people through fear and manipulation and things like that. Anger and emotional instability. This guy was, he was a basket case of emotions. And he'd get very angry and emotional. And there's one time he threw a spear at David, the Bible says. Missed him, thank God. But he threw a spear at David. And I'm not talking just anger and emotional instability, because sometimes we all can do that. Amen. But this guy, to the point of it was demonic. The Bible even says that. It was influenced by the demonic, the anger and emotional instability in his life. The sixth thing was unbelief and spiritual compromise. The Bible even talks about how that Saul went to, even though, you know, he knew who put him as king, but he still went to go consult a witch, is what the Bible says. And you might say, well, I'd never do that. Well, there's lots of Christians that are consulting astrology and all those kind of things, you know, the horoscope, all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. I know what my sign is. I'm a Virgo, but the stars don't tell me where I'm going in life. God Almighty does. I don't listen to the stars. There's somebody above the stars, and it's God Almighty. He's the one that created them. I want to listen to the Creator, what He's wanting to do for my life. So don't, I promise you, if you're under the sound of my voice today, because I know there's more people listening to this, there are going to be people on the radio, and there's going to be people on Church's Aid listening to this, stop it in Jesus' name, because that's just a door opener for even more. And then the seventh thing is the fear of man. Saul did a lot of things just to please people. So he had a fear of man. And I just want to say this. Jesus even said this. He said, beware when all people speak well of you. even Jesus, when he was here, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus couldn't pastor at some churches around here. He couldn't. Even when Jesus was here, they even called him Satan one time. You know, so... These are the signs of an insecure person. And I hope it'll help you. I've encountered people like this, very cocky, very arrogant, very prideful, and, you know, they bow their chest out and all this kind of stuff, and it intimidates you and all this. And finally, one day, I just became laughable to me, and I'm like, my gosh, you're 60 years old and acting like this. You're a very insecure person. You don't know who you are in Jesus Christ. And it just helps you to see them through God's eyes and to minister God's love to them. Because that's what they need. They need to have a relationship with God. Some of you have bosses like that, and that are very insecure because they think somebody's after their job all the time. And just love them anyway. Just speak blessings over them and love them. All right, here's what we're going to finish with today. This is 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. We're talking about the Apostle Paul here. And if anybody was going to be insecure in their relationship with God, should have been Paul. Because Paul, if you don't know his history, he killed Christians. And then he got gloriously saved. But this man, you know, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation..." Now, let me give you a little backstory on this. Paul was caught up to the third heaven, and he said, "I saw things I can't even speak of. I saw things too glorious for me to even put into words about heaven." He was caught up into heaven. The Bible talks about this. You can go look it up. But he came back with these abundance of revelations from God. And then he says, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." I want you to know where it came from. It didn't come from God. It says a messenger of Satan, right? Now, there are things that God causes and God allows, and for some reason unknown to us, and God allowed this. God didn't cause it. God allowed it. Verse 8 says, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me, and he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" And then it says, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And scholars for ages have tried to figure out what this is, what was his thorn in the flesh, all those kind of things. There's a lot of, you know, of speculation about it. In Galatians 3, Paul even says that he had to write his hand his letters were written really big because of his eyesight. So some scholars think he was talking about his eyesight. He didn't have very good eyesight. We don't know what it was. It was just a thorn in the flesh is what we know. I even heard one scholar say that when Paul taught and preached the gospel wherever he went, wherever God sent him, he'd always have hecklers. And they would, you know, demonically inspired people heckling him wherever he was at. Do you know how hard that would be when you're trying to teach the gospel and preach the God and share these revelations that God's given you from the Word of God, and you got hecklers going on, and then people are believing the hecklers and not believing that you're really sent from God and all these things, and it would drive Paul crazy, and he would pray, God, get this away from me. I'm tired of these people. You know, why can I cast out demons in this little servant girl over here, but I can't cast out the demons that are in the service with me? I can just imagine, and sometimes I think maybe that was what it was. I don't know, but I know he mentions infirmities there. We don't know what it is, but there was a thorn in the flesh, and God says, you know what, I'm going to allow this because this insecurity makes you come to me to get your security. Wow. I was like, that revelation hit me, and you know, I can tell you, and I'm just gonna share something with you from my own life right here. And Paul could have been the most insecure person in the world because of him killing Christians and all that. But God says, I'm allowing this, whatever this thorn in the flesh is, to buffet you because it causes insecurity in you, but it also causes you to draw closer to me to gain strength and get security. I'm going to give you three things here in just a second so you can write these down. See how I threw that in there? Start off with three more, so a total of six. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. I can tell you, I'm going to get to the steps to daily victory over insecurity from 2 Corinthians 12 from the Apostle Paul, and they're real simple. There's going to be three things I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to share something from my own life. I look across the room here, and I know most of you in here. I know things that you've gone through, things that you're going through right now, how some of these things that you're going through causes insecurity. And one of the most insecure times in my life was right whenever I was really getting plugged into God. I knew that I was called into the ministry. I was starting to feel secure in my relationship with God. Everything, I was married to a beautiful woman, had a beautiful home in Elk City, had two beautiful kids, life was going great. And then one day I get a call that something happened to my little boy. And most of you know this story, and 4 days later, we'd spent 4 days in the hospital, and 4 days later he passed away. And I was sitting there going, and I'm telling you, every insecurity came up in my life. Every insecurity came up in my wife's life. Because of the death that she's had in her family. And I was just, and here I am trying to be Mr. Strong Guy for my wife and for other people, and I'm so insecure, I just want to run. I just wanted to run from life at that time. Jade and I had enough in us to know that we don't understand this, just like Paul. I don't understand why this has happened. Everything was going so great. We don't understand this, but God, I am not going to go belly up to a bar somewhere and drink my life away. I am going to press even harder into you. What the enemy intended for evil, I'm trusting you to turn this to the good. And so we chose to do that. It was a choice. It was a choice. And we chose to do that, and we've been doing that ever since. And we have been able to, through this, our story, we've been able to minister to other people. And they have lost children or loved ones. And I know this is, I never asked for this, this anointing, but I'm going to tell you, the most anointed I feel is when I'm doing a funeral for somebody from God. because I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the cap. And but I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And there's many of you in here that have lost loved ones and close ones to you. But I just refuse to let the enemy win. And I just, because I want to, and God showed me a revelation during that time. I remember sitting at home, and I was sitting on the edge of Taya's bed. And this was after the funeral was over. This was after when life was starting to get back to going again. And just, everything just seemed like it was in slow motion. And I was sitting on the bed. And we'd had a group of people from our church that we were attending at that time, that's good church family that came to our house and prayed over our house before we come back home. And I was sitting there on the edge of Taya's bed, and I looked up at the wall, and the light, sunlight just hit it just right. And I could tell that somebody had used anointing oil in Taya's room, and that was Jaden's room as well, and put a cross on the wall. And I could just see it shining. And I was sitting there, and I'll be honest with you, my first response was I was ticked off. I was mad. I was like, okay, God, where are you at? You know, where are you at? And immediately, I didn't hear an audible voice. I just had this, kind of saw this picture in my mind's eye. And the Lord showed me, said, Mark, your faith in me is like a trophy. Because he's speaking to me in sports terminology, because I can get that. He said, your faith in me is like a trophy, and the enemy is trying to steal that trophy. And he's over there holding it up like, hey, I won, I got the trophy. And he said, and it's your choice to get that trophy back from him and keep your faith in me. And so that moment, sitting on that bed, I chose, and there was days early in that I had to choose every day to take that faith back and keep my faith in God. Keep the faith. Look at somebody and say, keep the faith. You need to keep the faith. But here's the three steps to have daily victory over insecurity. And these are not just a little formula. This is something you got to do every day. Number one, turn to God. Don't turn to anything else for your security. Your security comes from your relationship with the Lord. Turn to God. Very simple. Turn to God. Here's number two. Embrace your weakness, whatever it is. I finally had said, instead of running away from, I had a child that passed away, I decided to embrace it. Now when people ask me how many children you got, I got two. I got one here and one in heaven. And it opens a door up for me to share the gospel with somebody, because I tell them I'm going to see them again because I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And they're just sitting there going, you know, and I've had many people say, I can't believe you can talk about that, because I can embrace my weakness. I'm not going to run from it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it because I'm going to see. And every Sunday, Jaden and I come up here and we have communion, and we thank God that Jaden is in the presence of God. And he didn't have to go through all the stuff that we go through down here. And that we're going to get to see him one day. Amen. And I'm going to get to, this just gives me chicken skin when I think about this. But there's going to be a day when my boy, I don't know what he's going to, if he's still, you know, Jada was like, was he still going to be little? Is he going to be, I don't know. I don't know all those questions, you know. But I do know this, when I meet Jaden, he's going to take my hand and he's going to lead me around heaven. And I can't wait for that day. All right, so embrace your weakness. Here's number three. Put faith in God's grace. Just like Paul did, you've got to put faith in God's grace. And his grace is the strength that's going to get you through anything. Amen? So is everybody secure? Look at somebody and say, I am secure in Jesus. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to pray that, first of all, I'm going to pray this prayer over all of us, including myself today. This prayer right here. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word today. We thank you that your word is forever true. God, I know that there was people that have come in here today with some insecurities. We're all insecure about something. They came in here today insecure about certain things. But God, I thank you that today that your word has been doing what it does, what it's so powerful about doing. It's been renewing our minds to the word of God, to the truth of our security in you. And God, even though that we may be going through some insecure things, God, your grace is going to get us through it. Your grace is going to give us the strength to get through it. And God, we thank you for that. And God, we praise you because you are the answer to every insecurity that we have. And God, I pray that when those insecurities come, that we would just go to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Psalms 91 is the security chapter. Teach us to turn to you and to your word first when we feel confronted by insecurities. And Father, help us to embrace our weaknesses and show us how to walk daily in your grace, God. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, now here, I'm going to have you bow your head again. We're going to, this is maybe a three-prayer service. No, definitely a two-prayer. But I want you to bow your heads again. And I just want to talk to you about, before you leave here today, I want to make sure that everyone under the sound of my voice, whether you're here in service with us or if you're watching by Church's Aid or if you're listening to this on the radio, that you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's where our security comes from, is in our relationship with him. And so I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer. And even if you are saved and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, now I want everybody to stand up. And I'm going to speak a blessing over you, okay? And Jada, will you join me up here, babe? And so we want to speak this blessing over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. And Jade and I are going to get back here so we can see everybody this morning.
God, we look to you tonight. Above the singing.